Lord Jesus, every heart will thank you. He said, I'm he that lived and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. And God has given me a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow. Of things in heaven, of things on earth and beneath. Father, we thank you this morning. Worship you, Lord. He has given us that name to use in our prayer. And, O Lord God, and to have dominion and authority over principalities and powers. In my name, that means shall you cast out devils. In my name, you will lay hand on the sick and they shall recover. The Bible says, if you drink any deadly thing, don't want hurt us. Wonderful name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are so joyful, Lord, that name belongs unto us, Lord. And whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Infinite blessings attached to that name. Teach us, O Lord. David said, teach my hands to worship. Teach my hands to war and my fingers to fight. He was fighting with sword and all those things. We are fighting with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And also we thank you, we worship you that we have the word of God, we have the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord, we thank you for read your word this morning. Lord bless his Lord as we read. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So we are living at the end time. This, you see, we cannot be preaching the message of Noah in our own time or any other time, you know. We are living, whether it may acknowledge it or not, we are living at the end time. Some say this will just continue forever. No, God is not planning to be like that, you know. So this age will end. And it's ending pretty soon too. We are at the end. The world will continue, like we are preaching many, many times and so on. The world will not be annihilated. But the age is passing out to another age, another dispensation, and we are in it and so forth. So the Old Testament Apocalypse, meaning the book of Daniel, foretold of 70 weeks that will be determined upon his people, meaning the Jews. Let me go to Daniel 9:24 and just read a couple of verses from there. 70 weeks are determined, meaning marked off upon thy people, meaning the Jews. Are upon thy holy city, meaning Jerusalem, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. That's a full mouth thing. What can you even preach a sermon on those things, these six things alone? But we don't have enough time. So we know by now, each week is a prophetic week of seven prophetic years. Each prophetic year making 360 days. Just reminding us what we have spent time here talking about many, many years and so on, you know. And he, meaning the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, meaning the 70th week. And in the midst of the week, meaning 3.5 years into that 70th week of Daniel, meaning the Antichrist, shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination, he, the Antichrist, shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determining shall be poured upon the desolate, he says. So the Antichrist will make a covenant with the Jews during the 70th week, the week of 7 years, right? And probably help them to build their temple in Jerusalem. Today they have everything ready to be that temple, waiting for its time. God knows that hour, when it will strike, the prophetic hour, when it will strike. We don't know the hour, but God knows all. Now, so that will be the tribulation temple, as mentioned in Revelation 11. In the middle of the 70th week, talking about the Antichrist will break the covenant and declare himself to be God in that tribulation temple. Apostle Paul, writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, Let no man deceive you by enemies. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God, all that is worshipped, so that he as God seated in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, that event will precede the rapture of the church. We believe that one. That event I just read right now will precede the rapture of the New Testament first fruit sent. And the event will trigger the great tribulation. That's how we believe it. People believe differently. Some think the rapture will take place, or the church will go in the rapture, or there is no rapture. Some don't even believe in the rapture. Well, no. What if some don't believe? Doesn't cost God anything. It will happen anyway. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so we know that one. So, and we always believe. Just take place before the tribulation. Enoch went before the great deluge. We know that. There is something called the Bible a law of first mention. When God first mentions a thing, he will give it the most important attribute of that thing. We mention it in the first time, mention the Bible. So Enoch was the first one to live there without seeing death. So God is telling us, and before the deluge, and that's, you know, it's a type. So the rapture of the church also will be before the great tribulation. You know, Noah was a type of the tribulation saints, right? So we know that, you know. So anyway, so that's how we believe. Even Lot went out of Sodom before it lay fire and brimstone. You see the type? So we know the church goes before. And Jesus said, watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape, right? So there is an escape, and it's the rapture for the church. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, so, and there will come, so there will come a time when the great tribulation and the reign of the beast will be nearing its end. That time will come. During this period, people still have opportunity to be saved, although in the area of the world where the Antichrist has control, they must give their lives in martyrdom. Those people who become Christians at that time, in the area where Antichrist will having no control at all, you know. So until now, up to this moment in the prophetic timeline that I just narrated to you, I've said in summary now, there will be the rapture, the great tribulation. So that's what I've just said so far, you know, in the summary and so on. Until now, events have continued somewhat after the natural order. Nothing seems to be supernatural so far, you know, except the rapture of the church. That is supernatural, isn't it? That is supernatural. Which no doubt, some will attempt to explain away when it happened. Again, there is a type of it in the Bible. Even Enoch, Bible said that he was not found, right? They were searching for Enoch, right? Bible said he was not found. So we know that. Very little is mentioned about that man. One in Genesis 5:24, I believe it is. And then in Hebrews 11, 5 and 6 and so forth. And so very little is known about him. Then the book of Jude, and so on, was a prophet. He prophesied by the coming of the Lord. He said the Lord cometh with thousands and thousands of his saints. And so on that, you know. He said that and so on that, you know. The anti-deliverant prophet and so on that, you know. So we see, so he wasn't found. Elijah was translated. And wasn't found. So they go search for him and so forth, you know. And maybe God will take him to somewhere upon a mountain or something like that, you know. So today also, when the church is translated, meaning the first which is translated, they are going to, there will be who will explain it away, one way or the other. There will be time, then the after time is coming also, you know, we know that. So anyway, so again, until this time, I mean, nothing, everything is to be natural, except the translation of the saints and so on. So there will be no supernatural manifestation or divine intervention in the elements and so on that, you know, which cannot be explained as due to natural causes. As far as only the transition cannot be explained as some of that, you know. However, supernatural events are now about to occur. which will astonish the servant and the learned, and which cannot be attributed to the natural order. These are the visible coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the beginning of the great and terrible day of the Lord. So this morning, the accept all those who prepare a grant. The great and terrible day of the Lord. Time to warn this generation. The church is going up. The great and terrible day of the Lord is described in the sixth seal of the book of Revelation and many other scriptures that time we are having to touch this morning by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the great and the terrible day of the Lord. Revelation 6:12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. Like I said before the rapture, everything will be normal, right? Normal, nothing can be happening that cannot be explained. But now, supernatural events begin to take place, and something like that, you know. Now, so we see. So, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bond man, and every free man, about seven kind of group of people, right, named India, according to it later, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, coming events upon this earth, and are not far off really. And they said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Notice that word wrath, because it will come up many times this morning to explain something at the end of the message, so that the wrath of the Lamb, right? Now verse 17, for the great day of his wrath, here you go again, is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now this great day of his wrath is spoken of in so many times in the Old Testament prophecies and so on. And let's read some of them. Talking about the great and the terrible day of the Lord. Here is a God of mercy. God of all patience. For 6,000 years I've been patient with mankind, right? But in Genesis 6, but the spirit of God will not always, and so on that, so with man and so on that, so we know. Anyway, so there will be a time of judgment and so forth, and beginning with the great tribulation, and with the prophetic line and so on, the rapture, the great tribulation, the grand terrible day of the Lord and so on. Zechariah 1:14, I say other, apart from the 60, where it is revealed, there are other prophets in the Bible all say the same thing. Zechariah 1:14, the great day of the Lord is near. It's even nearer now, more than ever before in the history of the world. It is near, and hasted greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry therein bitterly. Don't blame God now. 6,000 years, 2,000 years of preaching the gospel. What else can he do? Now, that day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high tower. The Bible says, and I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because, here is the reason, they they have sinned against the Lord. See? He came to his own fault, and they didn't receive him at all. For rejecting the gospel, great punishment and so forth are coming upon this earth like never before in the history of the world. You know, anyway, now, for rejecting Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, this world are going to be faced with all this thing I'm reading here this morning. Now, against the Lord. And their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver, whether you are Bill Gates or Elon Musk, it will make a difference when the day of the Lord arrives. Praise the Lord. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in that day of the Lord's wrath. But the old land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance, get rid of them, of all them that dwell in the land. Now, the first event is said to be an earthquake, right? In Revelation 6:12, which I read again, and I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. In the original Greek, it indicates more than an ordinary earthquake. This is the, mother of earthquakes that we have this year. It denotes heart movements of a universal scope, not like you have in a, not like you have in Morocco, or even the great earthquakes of the past, or in San Francisco. This is a different one that's going to happen at this time, the great and terrible day of the Lord. It will be of a universal scope. You know, it denotes heart movements of a universal scope, an answer to the prophecy of another prophet in the Bible. His name is Haggai. Here is how he described it. Haggai 2, 6 to 7. For thus said the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heaven, and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land, and I will shake all nations. Global earthquake will take place in the great and terrible day of the Lord. Earthquake like they have never seen before. All because they reject the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of the living God. That's in Acts 20, right? It's the blood of God. Emmanuel, God with us, and they rejected him. In the scriptures, convulsions of nature have more than once been associated with special manifestation of deity. So, I'm telling you, it's the manifestation of deity, the great and terrible day of the Lord. Even in the past history and so forth, we have seen convulsions of nature be associated with the manifestation of deity. Let's name a few of them. Mount Sinai, quake there, when the law of the Lord was given to Israel by the hand of Moses. Let's see that in Exodus 19, the 18th verse. And Mount Sinai was all together in a smoke. We are saying that, convulsions of nature do take place when the Lord manifests himself in a special way. And Mount Sinai was all together on a smoke. Why? Because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the old man quaked greatly. That happened before. But the great day of the Lord is a different one. More than any other shaking or convulsion ever happened in this world before. At the hour of Christ's death, showing how convulsion of nature happens when God is manifesting himself in a special way. At the hour of Christ's death, we read in Matthew 27:50, Jesus, when he had a cry with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And then behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Even the Holy Ghost, by the hand of the writer of the book of Hebrews, refers to the prophecy of Haggai again. When he speaks of the judgment coming upon the earth, in Hebrews 12, 26 to 27, saying of the Lord, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I will shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain, it says, you know. So, talking about the great and terrible day of the Lord. The warning that everything will be shaken, that can be shaken, is only a preliminary to what is about to take place. Now, the order of events leading to the great and terrible day of the Lord, given in Revelation 6:12, as I read before, was previously given by the Lord in the Gospel. Let me read to you in Matthew 24. What you read in Revelation 6, the Lord spoke it also in Matthew 24. At the mouth of two or three witnesses, the same Holy Ghost, when the Lord was here, he spoke it. And let me read and compare notes here this morning. And we will see why we are, you know, preaching this way. You know, even not so much, not in this congregation here, but I'll show you why. Now, at the close of the Great Tribulation, what's going to happen? The sun and the moon are darkened, the Lord said, in Matthew 24. I'm going to compare Matthew 24, 29 through 31 to what you read in Revelation 6, 12 to 17, right? The same Lord Jesus, you know, spoke both ways. Now, Matthew 24, 29 says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give a light. What does Revelation 6:12 said? And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as the sackcloth, and the moon became as blood. So the same Lord Jesus that spoke in both places. Now, what has happened in Matthew 24:29? The stars of heaven fall, right? Let's see, back in Matthew 24:29, Matthew. And the stars shall fall from heaven, the Lord predicted. And the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. In the 60, what did he say in Revelation 6:13? And the stars of heaven shall fall unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely fig, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Now, in verse 30 of Matthew 24, people of the earth witnessed the sign of the Son of Man, right? Let's read that one. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Revelation 6:14 says about the same thing, if you read this properly, but you hear what it says. And the heavens be parted as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were removed out of their place. More on that. Now, the actual appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I brought said that when we were singing the, you know, the chorus and so forth, many always group the coming of the Lord as one event. No. There are multi levels of the coming of the Lord, of the second coming. The rapture takes place first, and then it will come for the tribulation saints and so on, as you know. So it's not just one coming, you know, like you said the last day, but anyway, let's go on. You see some of them. So the actual appearing of Christ, so that all the world sees him, in Matthew 24 verse 30, is in this place too, really. So we are putting the great and terrible day of the Lord as one coming of the Lord also, you know, another coming of the Lord. Anyway, in Matthew 24:30, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That's not a rapture. That rapture has taken place at least probably 3.5 years, maybe, or more before that time, before this event here and all that, you know, maybe more. Now, what did he say in Revelation 6:16? And said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, and hide us for the face of him that sitteth on the throne. So they saw him, right? They are both talking about the coming of the Lord. Both that match 24:30 and then Revelation 6:16. Because they saw him. See? Now, the fear resulting from the appearance of Christ. 38th verse of 24th of Matthew say this. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. What I'm doing here to confirm that what we read in Revelation 6, the Lord already spoke them in Matthew 24, same I'm doing right now. The same Lord, the same word, the same event. That's what I'm trying to bring out. Call it a Bible study, that's good too, you know. Anyway, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. Revelation 6, 15 to 16 says this. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and the caves of the mountain. So they are in parallel, some of that, you know, the same event. Lord is spoken in both in 24 of Matthew and the Revelation 6. And said to the mountains and so forth, which I read before, fall on us, hide off on the face of him. See, they are able to see him, right? Hide off on the face of him that sits on the throne. And for the wrath of the Lamb. See? Anyway. Now let's see more about the comparison of the 24th of Matthew. Now the last one I want to see here is this. 31 of 24 of Matthew. And he shall send his angel with a great sound of a trumpet. And he shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the end of heaven to the other. Those are the tribulation things I will tell you. That's in parallel with Revelation 7:9. After this I beheld, and know a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne. And the Lamb as well. Verse 14 says, days are they which come out of great tribulation. Timeline of events of the great and terrible day of the Lord and so forth, and what happened before and after and so forth. Now here the judgment, 38 verse of Matthew 24, 38 to 39 verses. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into, that meaning Noah, right, tied to the ark, and knew not, until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be, the Lord said. And Revelation 16 to 17, which I've read many times this morning already, the mountains, rocks and so on, full of us and so forth. Anyway, now, the opening of the sixth seal and the Lord's parallel statement in Matthew 24 definitely mark the hour when the tribulation ends. That is the end of the tribulation when this thing occurs. That's what I'm trying to say with all those things. When Christ comes for the tribulation saints, and when the day of God's wrath begins. So I just read the two parallels to show you what the event is, you know, when it happens, that, you know. Now let me read this one again, you know. So when the sixth seal was broken, we are told that there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the star of heaven fell, the Bible says, to the earth, and the heaven departed as a scroll, the Father said, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place. What does this really mean? These are nothing more or less than great physical convulsions that shall shake the earth, and that have been foretold by the prophets and the Lord himself, like I've read a few of them before. And you know what? Such physical phenomena and changes have happened before. God gave a prelude before in past history. But this one will be like none of those one before. Let's see an example of this event that happened, back in history. There was the thick darkness that overspread Egypt for 3 whole days in the days of Moses, in Exodus 10:21-23. And the Lord said unto Moses, these are some of the events that have happened in the great and terrible day of the Lord, right? But in great in a proportion than anyone before. Stretch forth out thy hand towards heaven, he told Moses, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt, so thick they can even feel it. And Moses stretched forth his hand towards heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another. They were sitting in one place for 3 whole days. They couldn't go anywhere. They couldn't see a thing. They saw not one another. Neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwelling. That's one event in history to tell you that what the Lord is saying, the great and terrible day of the Lord, is going to come to pass too. There was darkness over Jerusalem and Calvary on the day the Lord was crucified, 27th of Matthew verse 45. Now for the 6th hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the 9th hour. Now the Zechariah also talk about some darkness and so forth in Zechariah 14:6, and it shall come to pass, he said, in that day, that the light shall not be clear nor dark. And if you read that chapter very carefully, he associates it to the great earthquake that will happen. I don't have time to go and read 14 of Zechariah, but it's right there, you know. Now, even to modern history now, on the 19th day of May 1780, a wonderfully dark day was experienced throughout the northeastern portion of this country called America. I'm showing you that the great and terrible day of the Lord, what will happen in great and infinite intensity compared to what has happened before, there are the past type of it in the past that happened before. So on 19th of May 1780, a wonderful day, dark day, was experienced throughout all northeastern portion of the USA. The witnesses of it described it as supernatural and unaccountable for. They couldn't account for it to this day. They don't know what it was. It was not an ordinary eclipse, for the moon was nearly as full. It was not owing to a cloudy condition of the atmosphere, for the stars were visible. Yet, it was dark from 9 o'clock in the morning throughout the usual hours of sunshine. That work had to be suspended. Houses had to be lit with candles. The beasts and fowls went to their rest as in the night time. It's in history. Can you put it up for yourself? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. We know why we say this thing. Time is short. Praise the Lord. I think for the church and for the whole world too. The world will not disappear, but judgment is overdue. In the prophecy of Joel, we read chapter 2 of Joel, 30-31. I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. All scripture say the same thing. All the scriptures I've read from Revelation, I've read everywhere, so that they want to hear, we hear and don't miss it. Before the great and terrible day of the Lord. That's why I call the title the great and terrible day of the Lord. Not my word, it's the word of the Lord. The great and terrible day of the Lord come, it says. In the book of Isaiah, we read 13th chapter, 9-10. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath. See that word wrath, mark it from the beginning. Wrath. and fierce anger. To lay the land desolate, and it shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in its going forth, and the moon shall not cause a light to shine. 34 of Isaiah, the fourth verse. All the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falleth from the vine, and the as falling fig from the fig tree, he said. Now, I've read so many scriptures, all of them saying the same thing. Now, let me make a comment here, you know. This probably doesn't refer to the constellations and heavenly bodies like the stars and so on. So because when you say the star fall down and so forth, the nearest star here is about probably like 300, Alpha Centauri is the nearest star here. I mean, 4 trillion miles away from here. So I don't think it's talking about physical stars up there. It could too, but I mean, from what we have known, I thought that God has let man know. I don't think so. Why? Because those stars, the stars, are too far away to be affected by judgment on the earth. But, to the earth atmosphere. But we can have meteors and shooting stars. So we are just leaving that there. Now, I would think it is star showers and shooting stars and something like that, you know. So if the United Star is about 4 trillion miles away from here, and maybe one star is even bigger than this, our own heart. Anyway, so we are there. There have been great star showers in modern times. On the night of November 12th, 1833, there was a unique and most spectacular display of shooting stars, exceeding anything ever previously witnessed in recorded history. We are reading this thing that happened in history to show you that, look, what God said in His word will come to pass. He makes a tiny proportion of it in the past history and so on, that, you know. So the real one is coming, the great and the terrible day of the Lord. Every November to December, there is a star shower called the Leonid. They call it the Leonid. Can you go look it up? Leonid star shower and so forth. It's coming in November again. I think this year, it's the November 17th that it will cap. So anyway, back in 1833, November 12th, a unique and most spectacular display of shooting stars exceeded anything ever previously witnessed in recorded history. People rushed out into the streets to see the amazing spectacle. The shower began a little before midnight, and gradually the meteors increased in frequency until by the time the faint flush of dawn had begun to spread over the sky, they were as thick as snowflakes. Can you imagine shooting stars as thick as snowflakes? Right? Upon this earth. It's in history, they recorded it. Remember 1833 and so on, that, you know. People knelt down in the street in stark terror and tried to seek God. Sinners hastily began to pray as they believed that the end of the world had come. Church bells tolled as they waited for the end, according to historical records and so on, that, you know. What happened to it? Next day, all was serene. And most people, so recorded their contemporaries, went back to their previous habits and forgot all about their hastily made resolutions yesterday. Their praying on the night before was apparently merely the result of a fear inspired by the celestial display. The lesson seems to be this. Man is not ever led to Christ through the call of his mercy. If man is not led to Jesus Christ through the call of his mercy, and his grace, nothing else will draw him to Christ, did he? You know, can you see what happened? You are on the street, crying, repenting and so on. Next, when it's all serene, went back to their bath and drinking and all those kind of things and so on that, you know. So when the great shower occurs under the sixth seal, in the great and terrible day of the Lord, there will not be a reassuring money again. It won't be like 1833. No, no, no. There is no more reassuring money. As there was in 1833. With all things as they were before. No, it won't be any, it won't be the same again. No. Instead, the sun is darkened and the moon turned into blood. There will be dust and vapor of smoke as mighty seismic and cosmic disturbances take place in the heavens. While on the earth below, there will be lightnings and thunderings and earthquakes shaking the earth, which I've given the Bible references before, right? These physical convulsions will be the earth travail pains, if you want to, as she labors to bring forth the new creation of the millennium age, the next age. The other time we preach about the earth, past, present and future, right? You know, anyway, the Lord Jesus Christ refers to this period, which I've read it in Matthew 24. I won't go back there again. I've read it all morning. So all these startling physical changes and conversions will cause a great fear to fall upon all classes. Several of them, I read them before, you know, of people. Who will no longer attribute such changes to mere natural law anymore. They are now convinced that this is like in the days of Moses. This is the finger of God, you know. But they will see the hand of the Almighty God in all of this. To them, the day of judgment will become a reality. Too late now. And in their fear and terror, they will hide themselves, like we read in the Bible, in the dens and in the rock of the mountain, and say to them, fall on us, and hide off from the face of him that seated upon the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, the Bible said, and who shall be able to stand? What a prayer. What kind of prayer they are praying? Instead of repenting, can you see mankind? And cry for salvation. See? They will call on the mountains and the rocks will fall upon them before the face of the Almighty. See? Just in a nutshell, the great and terrible day of the Lord. I just touch it a little bit. And to the elect of God, you see? To the elect of God, you as a Christian and so forth, need not fear any of these things. Even if tribulation and so on, the Lord said us in Luke, I'm really finishing up now. So, Luke 21:9 of Luke. Even the lesser judgment, tribulation, the Lord said of this. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. I haven't said all these things to terrify the Christian. Never. Don't need to be fear of anything. Be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass. But the end shall not by and by. And so, well, according to the scriptures, no Christian will go through the great and terrible day of the Lord. And I'm going to back up with scriptures now. All the things I've described this morning will come to pass, but not even one single Christian will pass through the great and terrible day of the Lord. Some Christians will pass through the great tribulation, we know that. But no Christian will pass through the great and terrible day of the Lord. So now, and so almost all the scripture, you know, call the day of the Lord last, right? I want to show you that no Christian will pass through the great and terrible day of the Lord. And all the scriptures, I think you should mark the word last, right? So now, almost all of them, they talk about the wrath of God. Let me show you. In Revelation 6:17, it says, "For the great day of his wrath is come," right? Now, in Zephaniah 1:15, that day is a day of wrath. Zephaniah 1:15 says that. Then we see that in Isaiah 13, 9 to 10, he said, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger." So, now I'm saying that no Christian will pass through the great assembly of the Lord, right? And here are some scriptures that exclude the Christian from that day of wrath. First, Samuel chapter 5, verse 9. So you have now known that the great and terrible day of the Lord is the associated with the wrath of God, right? And I say no Christian will pass through it. I hear a description for you and for Christians. For God has not appointed us to wrath. You see that one? Talking to the Christian now. But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Another one. First Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 10. And to wait for his son from heaven, whom he has raised from the dead, even Jesus, which deliver us from the wrath to come. So, no Christian will be in that wrath of the terrible and great day of the Lord. But not all Christians will escape the great tribulation, unless those who have heeded the word of the Lord. So some Christians will go through the great tribulation, but our merciful Lord showed us even how to escape that. Why no Christian will pass through the great and terrible day of the Lord? Not all Christians will escape the great tribulation. But even then, the Lord has given us comforting words how we can escape the great tribulation. And it's a popular scripture here in this place. Luke 20, I'm finishing up now. Luke 21:34. And take heed to yourself, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unaware. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore, he says, and pray always that you that can't say the word is to escape all these things shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So to the Christian, this thing was being read or preached so that you can heed the warning of the Lord, being told what is yet to come and in the near future that we may get ourselves ready. That's why Mark 13 tells us, 35 says, "Be ye also ready," he says, I don't know, "be ye also ready." Now how you take not the Son of Man coming? That's the purpose for the Christian. But these things are real and they are coming. Now let me just finish with this one. Whatever you need maybe this morning, the Lord will supply them. Having said all these things, Elijah says all kind of things before the translation. God supply all his needs. So this morning, whatever your need may be, the Lord will supply. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If we do it, just a little faith is what we need. Use your faith and God will do it and so on. Mark 10:27. And Jesus, looking upon them, says, "With God all things are possible." You know, I always like the word "all things" in the Bible, right? Jesus said, "I don't care what any other man says. You are in a situation, I don't care what man says about it. You are looking for an answer. No matter how difficult it may look to man," Jesus said, "all things are possible. Whose report will you believe?" I will believe the Lord's report, amen? Praise the Lord. All things. Now, in Mark 9:23, Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe," you see, that's all it, you know, "all things are possible to him that believeth." You know that man whose son has epilepsy and so on, that, you know. Anyway, but Jesus is telling us, if thou canst believe, and this morning too, all things are possible. I don't care who say what, you know, I will take God's word over above any man's word and so on, that, you know. I don't care what the situation you are in at, how impossible it may look to man, but with God, all things are possible. Now, Matthew 17:20. When you seek the Lord properly, you know, and some of that, you know, here what it says in Matthew 17:20. When you seek properly the Lord properly in the appropriate way, and Jesus said unto them, as keep on praising that, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. The Lord says, shall remove. Let every man be a liar, and let God be true. Amen? Praise the Lord. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. I take God's word with all, I just swallow it all up. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Romans 8:32. He that spare not his own son, but delivered him all for us all, for you and me, how shall he not with him also freely give you all things? That's what comes in again. Don't let your flesh, don't let the devil, don't let any man tell you something is not possible that you need. Whatever you need in the will of God is possible, amen? Everything that you ever need from God, it is possible with the Lord, and the Lord turns around with you too, nothing shall be impossible. Last scripture here. So all you have to do is to ask, right? You know, Matthew 7:7-8. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for making us to live at the end of the age. The end of the age is terrifying to the unbelieving, not to the believer. Bible says, live for joy. Live for joy. Bible says, because the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. He that is afraid of this age needs to repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for showing us, O Lord God, the signposts that, you know, of the road ahead. Book of Revelation says the things which shall shortly come to pass. Man may see they have eternity to do anything here. God says the time is short. Lord, let us see the shortness of time. That we be sober and be sincere with our faith to the end. And to be diligent even to the end in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Making our calling and election sure. You are the elect of God, right? Making our calling and election sure in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never to be ashamed of this gospel, but to be able to tell every man who will ever listen to us of the hope which is in us. Telling them the end of the age is upon us. The midnight cry gone to the church, both the foolish and the wise virgins. So now, Lord God, we pray everywhere, Lord, that your children will be wide awake in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and hear the word of the Lord to be ready the day and the hour we don't know. But we know we are in the season by the many infallible proofs of scripture and the events upon the heart and the prophetic fulfillment. We know the time is at hand. It's even at the door, the Bible says, to help us, Lord, to be wide awake. In the name of the Lord, fill with the Holy Spirit. 25 of Matthew, the 10th verse. The only reason those five foolish virgins didn't go up is because they didn't have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That's the only reason. God didn't hate them. They come later in the great tribulation. But now we want to go in the rapture. The first fruit rapture. So Lord, help us to keep our prayer life up, witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, as the Bible promised to supply all our need, Lord, oh Lord God, help us. By the word of God, we all have faith. He has dealt to every man a measure of faith. Bible says, help us, oh Lord God, to dwell upon the word of God and have our faith to increase, exceedingly increasing every day. And all things are possible to us. So I commit every need represented here this morning to your hand, Lord. No matter what they are, the Bible tells us in Philippians 4:19, our God shall supply all our need. So I receive by faith this money to the supply of every need represented by this money for the soul, for the spirit, and for the body, for the family, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Even so, meet them, Lord, because we promise you, we, and we believe your word, Lord, and we go with a miracle this morning, no matter what they are, by the authority of God's word, it shall be done. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise be the Lord Jesus. And we are little more time.